Okay, let's take your phone calls next now. Dr. Edith Viori, our guest, will be right back with her and you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Dr. Edith Viori. We're going to take some of your questions now this hour. Edith, any specific area of expertise that you personally enjoy the most that you have?
I would say that in my work, I did enjoy most doing the depossession work. You know, I did the past life therapy and I did alien abduction regressions, but and I enjoyed that too, but I did really enjoy the depossession because I felt like I was helping two people at once, the departing spirit as well as the possessee, the person who was possessed. So it was very, very rewarding.
Everybody wins under that scenario.
That's right, yes.
To the phones we go, west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Jim.
Hey,
how
Jim.
You doing, George and Edith?
We're
Hi.
Fine,
Hi,
thank
Jim.
You.
Fascinating show. I've always been curious about spirit possessions. What is the oldest documented case of the age of a spirit? You know, I've never heard of a caveman possessing anybody's body. So, you know, I've always been curious about that.
I'm really not sure about the answer to that, but I'm sure that this has been going on since the beginning of time, that people die and they were confused and joined whoever, maybe in caves. But I don't know about the history of that.
Do you believe in, I know you do, but I want to hear your answer, extraterrestrial life?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yes, no question in my mind about that.
Do you think they're going through the same metamorphosis as we are with living, dying, spirit world?
That's an interesting question. Yes, I think they do die. When I was doing some past life regressions, there are a few cases of people who were from other planets and who got lost and ended up on this planet and led some people into a desert, and a lot of them died. So, yes, you know, they die too.
Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Hello. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I am calling because a lot of people always tell me that I should be a doctor and things like that, or I always have the answers to the questions that they ask me, and half the time I don't even know what I'm telling them, but it evidently comes out right.
That's wonderful. Sounds like you've got some psychic ability, and maybe you have a lot of guidance.
Now, guidance comes from where?
Guidance would come from outside of yourself, not like a spirit guide who would give you, through telepathy, insight. I don't think that you would be possessed by a doctor, but you may have somebody channeling through you from, you know, temporarily possessing you, or at least giving you through telepathy the answers. Or it could have been that you were a healer in many past lives yourself.
All right, let's go next to our east of the Rockies line. Your turn. Hello there. Good morning.
Hello, is this George?
Yes.
How are you?
Good,
we're just wondering, when are you going to get Carlo Castaneda teaching of Don Wong on your show?
You know what? Honestly, I did not know he was still alive. I thought he had passed on.
No.
How old is he?
I don't know. Okay, I have a question for the doctor. Is that possible?
Yes, please.
Yes, doctor, you mentioned about spirits jumping into bodies, and I don't understand that. Each individual is born with a guide, and also a spiritual guide, and they just can't jump into a body unless the person gives it permission.
Well, I'm not sure about that. That may be your viewpoint, but I worked daily in my practice with people who were possessed, and the reason I would assume that what we were dealing with was possession is because when I would do a depossession, they'd be free of all kinds of symptoms and problems. Now, one explanation could be, and in fact, sometimes when I had to get with difficult cases, it could be that it was a karmic situation that they needed to have that because that's what they did in a former lifetime. But it does indeed happen.
My father was a medium, and he also depossessed a lot of people. And when he depossessed these people, these spirits out of these people, they explain as to who sent them and why they were doing this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they just jumped into a body. It was they grab a spirit, and they enslave a spirit, and they send that spirit to do evil things. It's not the spirit just didn't jump to anybody. These spirits were commanded to do certain evil things.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of the people who were possessed were not doing evil things. They were just, like, for instance, one person was whom I mentioned earlier just had a gallbladder surgery, and she was possessed by an older woman who was very, very confused, named Mildred, who just was drawn into her body when she went over to ask for help.
Mildred?
And she didn't do anything evil. She didn't particularly like Margaret's husband, but she was not doing evil things, and she wasn't commanded to do it.
Misunderstood me. I'm not saying the person did evil. I'm talking about these spirits
do
evil.
Yeah.
See, when another medium or spiritualist grab a spirit from the cemetery, from the hospital, they're commanded to go into a certain body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that person who is possessed, his guiding angels stepped away because they never recognized or had awareness of these angels, guiding angels or spirits, to protect them. If you don't pray to them, if you don't recognize them, they will not step in and prevent any other spirit getting into your body.
You know, it's a very interesting question that you're bringing up, and then that gets into a karma, doesn't it? Like, in other words, it could have been that they're not protecting the person because it's supposed to happen for whatever reason. There might be a connection between the two souls, the possessee and the possessor, from the past life. It could be that the person... I've had to do some regressions in order to release spirits sometimes, and I found that the possessee, in other words, the one who is being possessed, had done the very same thing before. And then when I was able to look, then they could release the spirit because down deep they were fulfilling some karma. So that would be my only answer to your question.
Well, my father was a medium. He was not only a medium, he used to channel. He used to grab the spirits, and they would explain as to why they possessed the body and mm-hmm. as to why they were commanded to do these evil things. And
mm-hmm.
he would, in turn, like he used to tell me, he would in turn would send them to Jupiter, Mars, whoever.
Mm-hmm.
They would leave his body. Not too many mediums do that.
No, that's right.
Not too many people can do that, can grab a spirit out mm-hmm. of another person and get a reason as to why. And they would also give the name as to who sent them.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting.
Okay. But what the point is, like my father explained to me, they cannot get into you because when you read the Bibles, in the Bible, when Jesus removed a spirit from a sick person, the spirits had to ask permission to Jesus as to what body can they obtain. And he sent them on to the swine, the pigs. The pigs mm-hmm. couldn't even stand these evil spirits. They went over the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in the Bible. The spirit, these evil elements cannot just jump into a body. It's impossible. If, like you say, you saw a ghost. You seen what Whoopi Goldberg says when she felt the spirit get into her? She said, no, get out of me. She didn't give him permission.
Mm-hmm.
And she told all the rest of the spirits, I don't give you permission to get into my body. You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, this is interesting in terms of permission or free will. I know, I'm not so sure we can stop that. I think if they decide to possess you, they do.
Well, again, it gets extremely complicated because we could, as I mentioned, it could have to do with karma, that something that happened in a past life. Since it's quite common, it could be that, say, Mary in a past life after death possessed somebody, and then then it was set up karmically for her to have this happen to her. That would be my only explanation.
Okay, next up, let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. I just want to say I love your show.
Well, thank you so much.
I'm a first-time caller, and I have a question.
Okay,
my boyfriend rubs my back. I have really bad back problems. Been to a lot of therapists for back problems, but I wonder if he had a past life as a masseuse or any kind with a medical field. He's the only one that could actually help me and gets the pain away.
Well, it sounds like he's a natural healer. Isn't it lovely for you to have a boyfriend like that?
Yes. I believe that he is.
Yes.
That he is a healer?
Well, I think he probably, he obviously has some special talent, if you say nobody else can do that.
Right. I mean, I've been to physical therapists, I've been to doctors.
Yeah.
Nobody ever helped me like that.
Yes. Well, he probably has healing ability.
Okay.
Good.
All right,
good
thank
for you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, appreciate you being part of the program. Next up, let us go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, I'm John calling from Omaha, Nebraska.
Hey, John, thanks for calling.
Well, thank you. Great show, both of you. I've really enjoyed
it. Thank you.
My question to you, Dr. Fiore, is this. I'm a paranormal investigator in Omaha, Nebraska with a group called PRISM. I was wondering, with the theories you've talked about tonight, how does that apply to paranormal investigations and going into haunted locations and coming on one-on-one with these things on a daily basis?
Well, you have a very interesting field yourself, don't you? Well, I think we're talking about the same sort of thing. I think that haunted places are earthbound spirits who are hanging in there. And have you been able to release any of them?
Not. I mean, I'm pretty much a tech guy. I do a lot of the audio, and I focus more on tech. We have a couple sensitives on the team, but I focus most on the tech department.
Okay. Well, anyway, there are ways to release spirits from houses. I have a transcript in my book about that, and it's the same sort of thing, that you'd make a recording and then just play it in the house that you assume is haunted, and then advise those spirits that their bodies have died and their loved ones are there, and to go into the light, the same sort of thing. But I think that, you know, ghosts and haunted places, people haunting places, it's the same sort of thing. They're just in a place rather than in the body.
Sure. Are there any dangers to investigators by doing this, increased paranormal activity and an increased amount of possession?
Well, I would think that I would think that it's sort of like walking into a cemetery or a hospital place where there are a lot of spirits, and I would advise you to strengthen your aura, and you do that, and I'm glad that you're bringing this up, by just imagining that a brilliant white light around you. When you go in to do your work, just imagine that you're a human light bulb, that you can just intensify that light, and all the different colors that are in your aura are now intensified to such a degree that it's a beautiful white, brilliant cocoon of light around you, and that you're completely protected. You also may want to ask your guides to protect you, but I would definitely do that.
Good advice. Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome. Nice talking to you, John.
Next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George and Edith.
Hello. Hi, George.
Yes, good morning.
Oh, hi.
This is Sergio from Santa Clarita.
Oh, Giorgio, hi.
Yes. I just lost both my parents. My father deceased 6 years ago, and I just lost my mother in June. I'm the only son, the only person here. And I'm kind of left behind, as they say. Most of my relatives are in Europe. I've led a gay lifestyle ever since I've been like close to 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And that has caused a lot of depression, anxiety, and what have you. And I also suffer from migraine headaches. And I know you were talking about multiple personalities with reference to that, and perhaps too many spirits taking over your body. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I also have a guilt feeling with reference to my mother, because she had to be put into a hospice, which is what I did not like to do. And however, she passed on there, and my father 6 years ago, with the health care directive that we had through our legal attorney, he was in a 10-day coma, and we had to let him go.
Yes.
I am suffering from a lot of guilt, and I'm wondering whether these are spirits or these are demons. Now, I know you were talking about the demon is not in the human body.
Right.
So, therefore, would this be an evil spirit or spirits with an S that would be attacking me? And would I actually, when I pray at night, just tell my mother and father and who's ever passed on, basically my parents, just to say, please go on, instead of holding on to them?
Yes. Well, first of all, let's assume that they have gone on, and your guilt. Have you had any counseling about this problem?
Well, a little bit.
Because it seems to me like you just need to have somebody talk to you, sort of straight talk, and say, really, it sounds like you, in both cases, you did the right thing. That you had, your father had already made his wishes known through, through a living will, that he did not want to have heroic measures, and
no.
So you let him go, and he was in a coma, and I assume he was not the youngest person in the world when he died.
No, he was 71.
Okay, so he had already been in a coma for 10 days, and that was his wish,
right?
And you carried out his wish, and then in terms of your mother, hospice is a wonderful thing, and of course, at one point, you can't take care of somebody yourself who's in that kind of situation, a dying situation, and they're trained to do it. So it sounded to me like you did exactly the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that you just need to let go of that guilt and know that what you did was a blessing for both of them.
Right.
And just have, you know, maybe this, my telling you this is helping you, but sounds to me like if you were sitting across from me in my patient's chair, this is what I would tell you, that you did the right thing. You have nothing to feel guilty about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
About the migraines, there may be help for that with past life therapy. Sometimes there have been things that happened in a past life that you're carrying forward and you're with this pain. Like, in other words, you may have been shot in the head or you may have been fallen on your head or some such thing. So past life therapy may be very helpful for that.
Great.
And as far as your gay lifestyle, that's up to you how you choose to live your life, whether you're comfortable with that or not.
But, Edith, in everything you've done, did you ever have to do regressive hypnotism on a child?
No, I didn't, because I worked with adults.
Strictly, okay.
Yeah, but that can be done. There's no reason why that can't be done. It's very interesting, too, that a lot of children, and Deepak Chopra talks about this in his book, and there are other researchers, Ian Stevenson was one of them, who found that children sometimes remember, when they're very young, their past lives. And then a lot of times, depending on the parents' belief, they will continue to remember that, or they may be told that they're making up a story and to stop it, in which case they blot it out of their minds. But I think it would be very easy to do it with a child.
I do, too. Let's go to our international line. You're up with us. Where are you calling from?
Hello?
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 Are you there?
Hello, yeah?
Well, go ahead. Yep.
Hey, I have a question about cats. Or animals in particular. I have two cats. One of them is a really sweet angelic cat, and the other one's kind of a feisty little bugger. The feisty one, I had to send him away for a while, and when he came back, he had a real, real bad grudge against it. Now, when he was a kitten, he was my first cat. When he was a kitten, him and I had a really intense connection. Now, I don't know if this grudge is because he's mad at me. It's been 8 years, 9 years since he's come back, and the grudge hasn't gone away completely.
Do you think he was possessed?
I'm curious now. I'm thinking, like, I have a friend that passed away. He was murdered, actually, and he was hanging around me. His spirit was. And I saw him in Budrick's eyes one night when we were communicating with him.
All right, Edith, what do you think of that? Is that possible?
Possible for a human being to possess a cat?
Other way around, yeah. I mean, for a spirit to come into an animal.
I really don't know, but I would think that would be difficult. But I think that animals definitely react to spirits. In other words, they might be terrified, like a dog or cat, to go into a room if there are spirits there. Or if it's somebody whom they love, they might be very happy to go toward that person. But are you saying that your cat, did he change his personality?
We're at the break now. Yes,
okay.
But she is saying that the cat did change its personality.
Yes, well, something happened. I'm not sure what.
We'll be back with final phone calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Our guest on our next Coast to Coast program, John Rhodes. He's a cryptozoologist and a leading authority on reptilian bloodlines. I'm looking forward to that. We'll be back in a moment. We'll take final phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Edith, where can people get the book, The Unquiet Dead?
Well, I would imagine they could get it from their bookseller or Barnes & Noble Borders. If they don't have it in stock, they can order it. It is in print. They also could get it online at Amazon.com or any other place that sells books, maybe libraries or secondhand bookstores.
Okay, great. Let's go to the phones again. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Gina.
Hey, Gina. Thanks. Where are you calling from, Gina?
Hi, I'm calling from Portland, Oregon.
All right, Gina, go ahead. Great time.
Yeah, I have thoughts that come to me that I feel are not mine. They give me kind of information. I have no way of knowing this information any other way. It's like I feel like someone else's thoughts, and sometimes they just kind of like yak at me, and I want to know how can I tell the difference if between if I'm possessed or if I'm possibly psychic.
That's a very good question, Gina. It could be that you have both things going on. I believe that psychics are very sensitive, extremely sensitive, and quite open to other influences. So it could be that you are receiving information that that is being given to you through from your guide, just through telepathy, but also along the line you may have gotten possessed as well. Is the information accurate generally?
Yeah, I had a girlfriend that we tried it out for almost a year. Every night for an hour, she would ask questions. And I would say 75% maybe accuracy.
Great. Well, probably what happened is you became open at that point. You were opening yourself up to guidance. And by opening yourself up, you may not have been protected enough to protect yourself from possessing spirits. So I think a little both are going on.
Yeah, that does make sense because I get a lot of chatter that I don't really like that's not
mm-hmm.
used.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you hear the part of the show about how to strengthen your aura by imagining the white light around you?
No, I heard the part how to get rid of a possessed spirit, but I didn't hear
okay.
that part.
Well, what you need to do is you need to think of yourself as a human light bulb and just imagine that you have a miniature sun, just like the sun in our solar system, but it's in your solar plexus. And that's just filling your whole body, every single cell, with white light. And it's turning you into such a light bulb that you extend out an arm's length in every direction with a brilliant white light. And just imagine that around yourself. When you wake up, you might want to do it when you brush your teeth in the morning and at night throughout the day. Maybe you could just put two fingers together on your finger and feel like you're pushing on a light bulb. That could be your signal just to intensify that light. And that would prevent you from picking up anybody. And then to do the deep possession that I outlined, just to say to them that, you know, that they're not you, that their body's died and they need to go on. You heard that part of the show?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, plus I have a transcript in my book, and the name of the book is The Unquiet Dead.
All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Gina.
Okay, I appreciate you being on the program. East of the Rockies, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Yes, my name is Charles, and I'm
That's
a first-time caller.
Okay.
I have a question. I have, for a while now, been able to feel other people's feelings. Whether somebody's died, I can tell that before they say anything.
Do you get their pain as well?
I get their pain. Most of the time it's pain. And it kind of makes me depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't seem to control it. Is there any way I can control it, or is it just...
I didn't quite hear what you said. What is it that you're picking up from other people?
Pain. Their pain.
Oh, did you say something about death earlier?
Well, if somebody was dying, he picks up that pain of the death.
Oh, okay. Are you around dying people a lot?
No, I work in a convenience store.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, it sounds like you're quite open, probably, you know, mediumistic or psychic. And again, the way that... the only thing that I could suggest would be for you to do a self-depossession to get rid of anybody who's with you who could be weakening your own self, and then to just turn yourself into a human light bulb. Put that around yourself, and that's the best thing I can think of. I think you're going to notice a good change if you do that.
Okay.
good luck with that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, that's good advice. First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Yeah, hello. Good morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, my name is Jake. I'm calling from Colorado, Pueblo, Colorado. I just had a quick question about possession. I was under the impression that two things can occupy the same space at the same time. So I was wondering, when a person is possessed, what happens to their spirit?
Well, their spirit, I don't know how much space a spirit takes, but what I see is this is a blending of the two. Think of, what comes to mind, which for the first time is, just think of a glass of water. Let's say you have some water in a glass and you add a little bit of, say, grape juice or something. They're both in the same space, right?
Yes.
So I think it's the same sort of thing. In other words, that it's not like a physical body. Like if two physical bodies can't occupy the same body, but the spirit is not in a physical body, and it can just merge right in.
Okay.
I don't know whether that answers your question well enough.
Yeah, that kind of, I like the analogy of the water. Kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you being part of the program as well. Let's go to East of the Rockies. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello. This is Ryan in Midwest City.
Hello, Ryan. Thanks for calling.
I don't know if anybody's connected these dots or not yet. I'm a student of physics and somewhat of a mystic. But the laws that your guest stated about when a spirit can and can't enter a person,
mm-hmm.
And the rules of how all that works precisely parallel the way electromagnetic waves pass through matter, specifically light. Talking about like Snell's law and Fermat's principle. What she stated about the higher energy levels and whether or not a spirit can come in or not. It's all the same.
Oh, well, that's very interesting. I didn't know that. That's very interesting. So what you're saying is it corroborates that theory.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, something about the universe. Everything acts the same at every different mm-hmm. level, mm-hmm. you know. And I imagine with something like that, a person could maybe map out how this stuff works mathematically, maybe provide some sort of defense.
Well, remember when I mentioned that I just made up that number of, say, 1,000, that your aura is vibrating at 1,000,
mm-hmm.
and then it lowers enough so that a lower entity can enter, say, coming in at 500, 800, whatever. So I guess the way the defense would be was just to raise that aura up again. That's the best defense I can think of, and that you do by staying positive, staying healthy, doing the best you can as far as that's concerned, and then deliberately putting that white light around yourself. You see, I don't see auras, but people who do aura readers, they see lots of colors around people, and we know that a blending of all the colors is white, right? And so
right.
if you can imagine that with your mind, you can rev up that aura, and then I think that would be a very good protection. People should do that when they're going into a hospital to visit somebody, or at a funeral, or places where there are known to be a lot of spirits.
Precisely, and white being the most reflective color, or, well, of all colors.
Yeah.
And as far as the higher energy level and lower energy level, that's the same way light enters and excites an electron up to a higher energy level. But if
mm-hmm.
the electron's already at a higher energy level,
mm-hmm.
it can't, it doesn't do anything to it.
Right.
Just bumps off of it, like you stated earlier.
Well, that's interesting. Good to hear that.
Yeah. All right. Well, you guys have a good evening.
Thank you.
Okay, fine. I appreciate you being part of the program. Have you ever dealt with any religious-type people, the priests or ministers who truly are petrified of this?
No, I really haven't. I can't think of any who came in as patients. But I can't imagine that they would be petrified of it. I would think that they would be open to it.
I think most would be open
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, I think they would be. And, of course, they may have a different take on it. Like the Pentecostals may look at it differently. Maybe some priests look at it differently. But I never had any clerics or ministers or rabbis or anybody come in as patients that I can remember.
All right. Wild card line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Hi, George. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Okay. I got a question for Edith of what happened, okay? About 11 years ago, I was, I'm ashamed to say, I was a pretty angry young man. I didn't like people. I was suspicious of them and things like that. Then one night, I woke up. I've had a lot of out-of-body experiences. I woke up and I was walking around the living room, and I looked into the bedroom, and in the bedroom, there was me and me. There was a guy that looked like me, and there was me sitting up in bed acting like I was aware. And the guy sitting and talking, there was a guy sitting and talking to me. He had black eyes, just like pure onyx, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking and whispering to the body that was in bed or whatever it was. And I was sitting there watching it, and I have no idea what this guy said to me. But I finally walked into the room, and I went, "I'm tired. I want to go back." And he said, "Okay." And then, bang, I was back in my body. The guy was gone, and I woke up. And from those years on, I got more spiritual. I started to love people more, trust them more, and of course, getting much, much more response in the same vein from them. And I just was wondering what happened there.
Well, I think you know what happened, don't you? Because I think it's very clear that you had a wonderful opportunity to see the possessing spirit.
Yeah.
And the possessing spirit was, in other words, your physical body was sleeping, but the possessing spirit was the one sitting up talking to you, with the one with the black eyes. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And maybe since you actually saw that person, something happened, and I'm not exactly sure why he left, but by your identifying that was not you, somehow you were able to get him out of your space, and so all those years that you were that it wasn't really you who were angry, it was the other guy, but you were possessed by a very angry spirit, maybe since you were a child, and then because of that wonderful event, he left, and you've been your own self since then.
So
good. That's
so
wonderful, terrific.
So the guy with the black eyes was a good guy, right? I mean, he whispered to me, and whatever he said changed me.
Uh-huh. Well, did you say the guy with the black eyes was a bad guy?
No, I think he was a good guy because
okay.
He was whispering to me, and it seemed to change. But I don't know why his eyes were black as onyx. I don't know, understand that. But
okay, well, in that case, my hunch would be that he did a depossession on you, and you were able to witness this. Your consciousness was able to witness this, but he probably whispered to the possessing spirit. So he may have just been some kind of guide.
Okay.
It's kind of confusing, but anyway, what did happen that night was a possessing spirit left.
Okay.
That's my best guess.
And like I said, my love for humankind and my forgiveness and everything has been growing and growing, and in return I've been getting back so much love. Oh, there's one other thing. I was in the hospital this summer. I just got to tell this real quick. And then a lady came up and touched me, and I was laying on my other side, you know, and I'd been very sick. And she was a chaplain. And when I turned over, this little old lady, you know, had a beautiful gleam smile on her face, and you could see light all around her. She almost looked, you know, like an angelic figure. And she had been praying for me for 18 days because I'd been unconscious. I just wanted to, you know, kind of share that story.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, maybe she was an angel, you know. sometimes angels come in human form, or she certainly was a healer, and what you were seeing was her aura, and you said it was a white light around her?
I'm a big believer in angels, aren't you?
Oh, yes. I am, too.
Let's take a call or two, and then we're going to have to wrap it up, Edith. See, you went the full three.
Yes, well, it's been I'm wide awake, even though it's 5 o'clock Florida time.
But oh, by the way, that phone...
show you have.
That phone number you gave out in Riverside,
Yeah. They've
changed the area code. It is no longer 909, it's 951.
Okay,
so it's 951-784-1570. And that's for that organization, right?
Yes, yes. And they will have a list of people who do deep possessions. I'm sure that they're going to be swamped with calls.
Okay, let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, this is Ann in Florida.
Hi, Ann. Thanks.
You're up very late, too.
Yeah.
Or early.
Both. I was wondering if there was a connection between children that have ADD and a possible possession.
That's a good question. I would think there could be. That might be one of the reasons that they can't concentrate. That's a very good thought. Yes.
Because they do seem to be like a different person. They do seem to be possessed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just seem to be uncontrollable. So.
Well, that makes a lot of sense to me. And in doing my work, I found that a lot of people were possessed as children.
Right.
Yeah, and then they unfortunately had the possessor with them till they were adults.
So possibly could you just, around the child, maybe when he's sleeping?
That would be good to do it while he's sleeping. That would be very good to do it at that time. Another thing is that you can use something called sleep suggestions. While the child is sleeping, you could tell the child that they are becoming calmer and calmer and that they're able to concentrate. In other words, you could give them suggestions, and
right.
It goes straight into their subconscious mind. I haven't done it myself, but I've heard of, in some of the old-time hypnosis books, suggestions that mothers sit on the edge of the bed and talk to their children. Like, let's say that they bite other children to say, you're enjoying your schoolmates and you are kind to other children and so forth. And then there are changes in the child. So that's a good idea.
Also, you know, people that practice Reiki might possibly send the Reiki energy to them,
mm-hmm.
I would think. Do you think that's possible?
Sure, I would think so, and I think any kind of healing energy, definitely.
All of that is possible indeed. Edith, I want to thank you again for being on the program.
Well, it's been a delight, George. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I enjoyed the callers and all the questions that were brought up. It was very, very pleasant for me.
She's the author of the book called The Unquiet Dead, A Psychologist Treats Spirit Possession. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Wayne Rogers, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.